This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. After a decade of working in the cramped quarters of a former portable classroom at the Mountain View Commons, KPTZ will soon be moving into a spacious new facility in what is said to be Fort Worden's first building. This week on the Compass, we tour the new studios as the remodel nears completion and talk about the importance of community radio and the opportunities the move presents. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
This is Steve Evans, KPTZ News Director and Executive Producer of KPTZ Compass, and I am now standing outside of the old Quartermaster's storeroom here in Fort Worden, Port Townsend, Washington, with Robert Ambrose, who is president of the board.
Yes.
Is that the proper term?
I think it is.
For KPTZ, and has been the guiding spirit for a remodel of the basement of this historic building to be the new studios of KPTZ going forward.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here with you. It's a beautiful day, and we're at the back door. And it's not a friendly staircase. Some of our DJs may not be able to manage getting down there. So the main entrance is up a ramp. It's all ADA.
Well, should we walk around the building and go in the main entrance then?
I think the main entrance is closed.
Oh, well, then we'll go in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be my first time through here, so I want you to give me a little...
Well, then I guess we'll start. I checked today. My bike can fit perfectly in this doghouse, it's called.
In the doghouse. And it looks like a second bike could go on the other side here. But that's it. There's like, you know, indoor storage for two bikes here.
Yes. And this may well become a DJ entrance.
So this is the back room.
This is the room at the back of the studios. Really, the entrance is down the hall. But this is a performance studio.
Ah.
So basically, this is where a small group of performers could perform and also, at the same time, be broadcast from the main broadcast studio, which is through
to which
window.
There's a window right there, I see, or a double window, so that's a soundproofed window.
Yes, this whole sound area of our studios has been engineered to be soundproof. And this little studio over here
is performance control. There's a sign here saying...
Yeah, it's performance control. So the sound...
So if a performance starts to get out of control, somebody rushes in here.
Or out of here to calm things down. No, there's a soundboard here that for mixing the sound of anybody performing, and it will also double as a production studio for any of us who produce shows. We'll be able to work in here. We're going to put one of the studio boards in here, so it'll be familiar for everybody to be able to work here.
Okay, and those will be boards just like the ones in the old studio? Or?
The exact same one.
Oh, so those boards will get moved over here.
One of them will. One of them we will put into a studio that will be at the transmitter.
Now, this is actually the second tour I've taken of this building. The first one was in December 4th, 2017, it aired. And that was sort of the announcement to the world that this was going to happen.
Yeah. At that time, it must have been full of junk and...
It was. We came down here. No, it was all kinds of really interesting old tech they were old, like, lamp fixtures from, like, the beginning of the 20th century. And, and all kinds of hardware. This was, like, the maintenance building then, right?
So, yes, it was for 100 years or something like that. It was full of 100 years of junk. So do you want to, maybe we should go to the entrance and walk in. So
that's a good idea.
The way that people would come in, then we can see.
So now it looks to me like we have the entire basement here.
We do have the entire basement.
Back in 2017, it was contemplated that we would only have about half of the basement or something. So when?
Well, it's a little exaggeration to say we have the whole basement because there are mechanical rooms down here. There's the elevator room. There are enormous bathrooms. So we have one half of the basement. And then we also have two rooms at the other end. And so we're just claiming the basement.
I see.
All of it.
And and the two rooms that are at the other end are?
One's going to be an administration room, and the other is a storage room.
I see. Administration and conference room, did I hear?
It's big enough that we'll have a table in there so we can have maybe our board meetings there.
I see.
That would be good.
Okay, so here we're standing sort of midway through the building, and there's some glass, partition and door.
And we go through the door, and then we're in the KPTZ reception area. And this will be, we'll probably have some comfortable seating here for people just coming in to visit, and we'll probably have a couple of desks where people can work, and it'll be a welcoming space.
And what are these machines over in the corner here?
Those are giant batteries because thanks to a generous donor, we were able to install an 8-hour backup power system. So if the power goes out, we will stay broadcasting for up to 8 hours. And that would give us enough time in theory if it's a catastrophic power outage. Then we would move over to the transmitter and have a studio there. And this would give us enough time to get over there to reset up and start broadcasting from the transmitter site.
So the current studio has an emergency generator. Will there also be a generator here or one at the transmitter?
There is one at the transmitter. And currently, and up to this point, we've not been allowed to have a generator installed here at the fort because of historic preservation objections.
That's interesting. I mean, there's going to be a lot of technology in here that wasn't here historically.
That's true. The decisions about what could be changed and what could be installed and what couldn't be touched is a complex thing that I don't understand.
Well, it's probably best not to,
right,
to delve too deeply into that.
So from the lounge area, we move into another quite large space that we see as almost a green room in the sense that people waiting to get into a studio to be interviewed or to perform can get all their stuff together here. And it's right outside the door of a newsroom that we've
built. A newsroom. Well, now to me, this is a very exciting thing to see. It actually looks like a large closet.
It is. It's a cubicle, but it's plenty big enough for a person with a desk and a couple of microphones and a little mixing board to be able to do interviews and be private, because news, sometimes it's sensitive and you don't want passersby to be hearing part of the story without hearing all of the story, as you well understand.
So there will be production capacity in here. Yes. And then over here, I see we have a lounge and kitchen.
Yes.
With lots of electrical outlets.
Well, because we want to have a space, again, for people to be able to do their work, to prepare their show or eat their lunch and whatever, you know, a little place to hang out as well. And it's basically soundproof from our studios, so people can gather here without disrupting our broadcasts.
All right, and then moving back, so there's another glass
door,
partition and door here.
And when we enter this space,
So this is actually providing more soundproofing here, I would guess. Yeah, right.
And so this closes off, that door closes off the audio portion of our studios, and we have room again here to put in workstations. And then there are two, I look at these two rooms One is the master control, is what we call it. It's the place where DJs normally go to do their show.
And this space looks slightly larger than, or is it about the same as the old master control?
It's slightly larger. Not that much different, but it does have a bit more room for, and there's a lot of echo in here too.
Well, but it's an empty room at the moment. I imagine that, is it going to be carpeted in here?
We'll put something down. We're not sure what yet. Maybe cork. We're not sure. And this is one of our acoustic doors. These rooms are super engineered for quiet, so they'll be good places to do radio production. This other room I sort of consider broadcast two. It's been called production, but it's going to be set up with exactly the same equipment so that people, DJs or producers, could do their show from either room. And we have room here for a small round table that we're going to have mic'd, so we can have small group discussions that will be able to be recorded in here too. Intimate discussions, in the sense of everybody being close together and eye to eye.
So let's talk a little bit about the transmitter. Back when I did this interview at the end of 2017, one of the big motivating factors was that the lease was going to run out on the location of the tower. Now, I know that that lease actually got extended, and but what's going to happen with the transmitter? Is it?
Well, we attempted to purchase the property where our transmitter is, and the owner didn't want to sell it. So we found another landowner close by where we could move our antenna. It has the same broadcast capacity, same distance. It's at
the same elevation.
It's 11 feet higher, so we'll get a little bit more. And this landowner is a very cooperative and enthusiastic. He's just moving here from Oregon, and he is going to give us a really long-term easement on the property, 25 or 50 years of easement for a nominal fee, almost nothing. So that's going to save us a lot of money, but it's a lot more work to erect a new tower and switch to that and broadcast.
Back in 2017, you estimated that this was going to cost about $600,000 for the move all in. Are we on that budget?
No. As things happen in construction, prices went up quite a bit, and COVID didn't help that. But we did add a component like that, the power backup system, and that added almost $100,000 right there. And so, no, our total price for everything was around $900,000.
That's quite a chunk of money, but I gather that it's all raised. I mean, we're standing here in a remodeled building, and yes. So who can we thank for that?
Oh, we can thank many people who contributed. We had some major donors who were instrumental in making this possible, along with a couple of foundations. Yeah, one foundation in particular, Sage Foundation, they gave us a generous grant too to make sure that we could succeed as the anchor tenant in Maker Square.
Well, it's really appropriate because we are celebrating, of course, our 10th anniversary at KPTZ, and it's been quite a ride watching this station grow up. And
you've been here since the beginning.
That's true. And for many years, there was a little bit of irony when I would sign off by saying for the news team here at KPTZ, because we didn't really have a news team. I was the news team. there were a couple of other people who occasionally did compasses. We started off with five people doing daily news, Mm-hmm. But that quickly created situations that were really untenable when three of us would go on vacation in the summer and, right. you know, like one person would be left holding the bag doing like the daily news. And you know, we're all volunteers.
Right.
But I have to say that in the last several years, and I have to commend you. I really think that you know, like, you've done a great job bringing in a lot of really great public affairs programming. But also, many of the DJs have stepped up. We have, you know, like Chris Bricker now doing his From Science to Health and Community Tides, and Tim Quackenbush doing weekly interviews with John Morrow, the city manager, and
yes.
and we have Everybody Can, and Chris Wilson doing her wonderful book review interviews with authors, and there is just so much going on, and then also people stepping up to do the weekly broadcasts of Dr. Locke and Willie Bentz before the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
And that during the pandemic, I mean, one of the things that you said that really kind of struck me was like, I asked you, well, why are you doing this? I mean, like, and you said, well, because I think that community radio is really important
yeah.
to the community. And I just think that the last year has shown just how important community radio can be.
I agree with you. I can't tell you how proud I am of KPTZ. We stepped up when things looked pretty grim, and we continued to broadcast our normal schedule. And beyond that, we grew what we offered to the community with some of the things that you mentioned. But we've added other shows, we've added new DJs, and we've done it all in a safe way. And there have been no COVID things linked to the station. Quite the reverse. We've provided an enormous amount of information to the public about COVID and about the real situation, and not the sensational things you might hear in other commercial broadcasting.
I haven't seen actual, like, you know, scientific proof of this, but I believe that those weekly broadcasts of Dr. Locke's updates were one of the most listened to programs we provided.
I think you're correct. I think that we actually tripled or quadrupled our internet capacity to stream, because every time we raised it, it kept being maxed. So I know that also because people talk to me in the community, and my wife is in a book group, and they all of her friends listen to Dr. Locke because he's a reasoned voice in unreasonable times.
Yes, I've heard him called our local Dr. Fauci. And
yes, I've heard that too.
Well, so what kind of dreams for the station do you have going forward? Well, there's another aspect of this that we haven't even, like, talked about, which is, at least a few years ago, the plan was there was going to be a big performance space upstairs that we would
there
look
is.
Into.
And it's gorgeous.
Can we look at that?
Let's go look at it.
Let's go look at that. Man, this is just extraordinary. You know, this two-story roof. This was, the floor has been taken out in here.
Yes, there was a floor here. I think when you and I first came here, that floor was covered in junk and bat droppings. And that's all been removed, and this place is transformed into an incredible room that would be great as an art gallery, which it was designed partly to be, but for a performance space, I think it's really exquisite.
So a stage will be put in here on one side or the other, or?
Probably on the side without the windows, and we actually wired up into here so that we can grab sound and broadcast it or record it.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a place where you can, like, do collaborative things with Centrum and...
Rain Shadow Recording and Centrum, we've talked to both of them. They're super interested. Centrum has recently gotten some video equipment, and so we may be able to do multimedia collaborations.
That is one of the really exciting things about KPTC being at the Fort, of course, is it can be here, like literally at the center. I mean, here we are right across the street from where the main action is for Fiddle Tunes and all of the music festivals here in the summertime. And musicians will be able to just breeze in and out of the studio, do interviews and performances.
That's why we decided to come here, even though it probably costs more than if we didn't relocate into a historic building. But the benefits of being here are, for a radio station, I think extraordinary, because there are so many creative people out here, creative groups, and we're linked with all of them. And so it'll be synergistic. All their activity is going to increase what we're able to give to the community. And what we give to the community will give a lot of exposure to all the groups out here.
I'd like to just back up a little bit again to the importance of community radio. I just happened to listen to your most recent edition of Critical Conversations, in which you were talking with Peter Carter of the International Panel on Climate Change. And the message he delivered was really, really alarming. And I think just as the station really provided a pivotal and vitally important role during the pandemic, and still is, I think the station may very well be able to take credit for the fact that Jefferson County is the most vaccinated county in the state.
Yeah, I agree that our role was incredible during this COVID emergency.
Right. And looking forward, I mean, one of the predictions that seems probably almost unavoidable is the eventual flooding of Port Townsend's
Main Street,
mm-hmm. Water Street.
Yeah.
It'll be
literally Water Street.
Yes.
Gondolas, maybe.
But beyond that, there was talk about the failure of agriculture. For example.
Mm-hmm. In our discussion with Peter Carter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a mainstream scientist. He's been actively working on climate change. He doesn't call it climate change anymore. What does he call it? He calls it climate...
Catastrophe.
And he blames governments all around the world and the corporations that refused to turn the switch. He said basically a switch could be turned and we could avoid the dire consequences of having too much carbon in the atmosphere.
Let's just talk a little bit about the What's Next program here at the station, which, to be honest, is we're doing fundraising here. We're trying to build for the future. So what are we looking for?
What we did with the help of the community is to raise enough money to build our studios and move in here. What we need help with is, and this is every year, and this is for every community radio station, we need people who depend upon us to provide crucial information as well as entertainment to help support us. And in the process of moving in here, with all of those growth potentials that I mentioned, it can't be done with our current budget. We just need to increase our budget over time. And the way we can do that is by generous people helping us out who believe that we're doing good work and that's helping the community.
And one of the ways I know that people can help the most is by, rather than making a sizable donation today and then waiting for another year before we know whether you're going to give again, is to become a sustaining member, where it may only be $20 a month, but a gift of $20 a month is a dependable $240 a year that the management of the station can look at and say, okay, we know that we dependably have this amount of money coming in.
Yes. I mean, I've been in community radio now for 25 years, and it's always a struggle to make ends meet. And it's because it's a terrible business model. We expend an enormous amount of effort to create a product, and then we give it away for free, 24/7. And so it's not like some subscription music services that you have to pay to listen to Spotify or something like that. We operate on the basis of trying to provide the best service to the community that we can with the confidence that the community is going to support us.
With KPTZ Board President Robert Ambrose at the radio station's future home in Fort Worden's Building 305, this is Steve Evans for KPTZ Community Radio News. Hello, this is KPTZ News Director and Compass Executive Producer Steve Evans. For more than a decade now, I have volunteered the best part of my life to bringing you into direct contact with the people, places, problems, and perspectives that make the North Olympic Peninsula among the best places on the planet to live. Why did I do it? Certainly not for the pay. Like almost everyone else here at KPTZ, I am a volunteer. I did it for the pleasure of the experience of getting to know the amazing, creative, community-minded folks in my own town and county who make things tick, and for the pleasure of sharing that experience with the rest of my community. I also did it for the experience of working with like-minded KPTZ volunteer public affairs programmers, and in that I have been richly rewarded. I've been humbled by the efforts of those who have come up with and sustained for various lengths of time our incredible diversity of homegrown programs like Nature Now, Treasures and Pleasures, Our Town, Book Lovers Cafe, Under the Rainbow, Coastal Cafe, Everybody Can, Through Science to Health, Brewocracy Now, Community Tides, Working Waterfront, Filter, Toss Salad, Cats in Our Laps, Attention Please, The Compass, and of course, the Daily Local News. That goes without mentioning the direct fire hose of participation we have provided in the form of on-location broadcasting like the weekly live feeds of the briefings by public health officials before the Board of County Commissioners during the COVID-19 pandemic, or the many feeds we have provided at musical events sponsored by Centrum, Rain Shadow Records, and many others. But the fertile bed for future creative programming needs your seed and plow. Personal circumstances require me to step back a bit now from the intensive involvement I've had with KPTZ, and the Compass will be taking a break. Attention Please will be at least temporarily filling its slot. But at the same time, KPTZ is looking to deepen and broaden our news department to help guarantee that we can sustainably remain the direct conduit of community information and experience you have come to rely upon. If you've appreciated my work over the last decade and the direct experience KPTZ has brought you with public affairs in your own community, please show that appreciation now by giving generously and earmarking your donation to KPTZ News by going immediately, which is to say right now, onto the kptz.org website, clicking on the big blue donate button, and then writing in whatever it is worth to you to keep up the level of community service you feel KPTZ provides. And keep in mind that if you become a sustaining member, guaranteeing a certain monthly donation which is automatically deducted from your account, you allow our general manager peaceful night's sleep. For KPTZ Community Radio News, I'm Steve Evans.